Stage to Death by Wayne D. Overholser. It had rained hard for 2 days, hard enough to turn the Suntex County roads into greasy gumbo and bring the creeks and rivers boiling over their banks. It had stopped now, but the May sky was still as gray as a goose wing and bore promise of another downpour. Bill Mason, stage guard on the Opal City to Tamarack run, stood against the bar in the Last Chance Saloon and stared thoughtfully through the fly-specked window at the leaden sky. In a few minutes, the stage would pull out for Tamarack. Maybe it would get through, and maybe it wouldn't, for it had to cross the Sundown and Paiute Rivers, and both were mud-yellow, roaring torrents.
"Hello, Billy Bach."
Icy fingers knotted Bill's stomach muscles. He hadn't been called Billy Bach since he'd been a wild young hellion back in the Colorado mining camps. Here in Oregon, nobody knew who he was. Nobody knew what he'd been. Nobody knew about the bank job in Silver Creek, where he'd had his first and last taste of the owl hoot and found it not to his liking. He was Bill Mason, stage guard, with a 3-year perfect record to his credit. Slowly, Bill's eyes turned to the man who had come up behind him. He was a stranger, clad in a yellow slicker, a leggy man almost as tall as Bill, with a saber-like nose and a pair of eyes as hard and sharp as chipped obsidian. A tough hand, Bill saw, with the stamp of the owl hoot upon him.
"You got me wrong, feller. My handle's Mason, Bill Mason."
"Sure, I know. You're Bill Mason now, all right. It wouldn't do to be Billy Bach out here. Some folks wouldn't like it if they found out the gent they looked up to on account of his guts and fast guns had committed a robbery back in Silver Creek, Colorado."
"You seem to know quite a bit, feller."
"Yeah, quite a bit. I ain't got nothing against you, Billy Bach. Neither's the Domino Kid."
"I don't know the Domino Kid. What's he got to do with it?"
"Plenty. You'd know the kid all right if you seen him without his mask, but we'll let that go. What I'm getting at is whether you're going to be smart so we can make a deal, or if you're going to be fool enough to make me tell them certain folks about the Silver Creek job."
"What's the deal?"
"In a few minutes, you'll be heading out with Mac Travers. Your box is going to be heavy enough to make a good picking for the kid. Now, the kid don't want no trouble. Of course, if there is trouble, I reckon he can handle it. And the way the weather is, he could get clear before the sheriff caught his trail. Still and all, the kid don't like shooting. If you just hand the box down and forget your guns, I'll ride on, and nobody's gonna know about Silver Creek."
"Maybe them certain folks wouldn't believe your yarn."
"And again, they might. Travers is no friend of yours. Neither is Eli Crone and Tamarack. Even Sam Benton might do a little quizzing around if he knew what I know."
All that was true enough. Both Travers and Crone, the Tamarack agent, were new men, and they'd plainly showed their dislike for Bill. Why, he didn't know, but he did know he valued Sam Benton's friendship and trust. Benton was the supervisor, and he'd given Bill his job. Then there was Laura Benton, Sam's girl. 6 months ago, she'd returned to Opal City from Portland, where she'd been going to school. From the moment Bill had seen her standing beside Sam's desk, he'd known exactly what the future would be for him without Laura. Balancing that knowledge had been the bitter realization that a man with his past could never tell her how he felt.
"Well, what's it gonna be?"
"How'd you know so much about the setup here?"
"That's none of your business. I'm asking one question, and I want the answer."
"The answer is that you can go to hell."
"I ain't surprised. It's sure funny how righteous a gent gets when he thinks he's got a good thing. You're a fool, Billy Bach. You rode with Stony Crass once. That put a brand on you you'll always wear. After you think about it a spell, maybe you'll get over being a fool. I ain't telling Benton now what I know. I'm giving you a chance. The Domino Kid has taken the box between here and Tamarack. If you go for your guns, Benton will hear the dirt. Think it over."
The man stepped around Bill and strode out of the saloon. Bill laid a coin on the bar.
Better have another drink. It'll be a hard trip to Tamarack today.
That it will. No, one's enough.
I hear the Paiute and Sundown are running chuck full. Them bridges go out, you'll be stuck on the peninsula. Looks to me like Sam's a fool to send you out.
Well, the mail's got to go through. I reckon the bridges will be there long enough for us to get over them.
The stage was standing out in front of the office when Bill reached it. Mac Travers scowled.
I didn't look for you to show up. I figured maybe you was too yellow to make the trip today.
Mac, one of these days you're gonna waggle that long tongue of yours too much. I don't like sitting beside you no more than you do me. There ain't no sense in acting like a mangy hound with a sore tail, even if you are one.
Travers' beefy face reddened with anger. He started to say something, but didn't, for Sam Benton appeared in the doorway behind Bill.
Bill, come in here a minute.
Benton was pacing the length of his office when Bill went in. He was a white-haired, steady-eyed oldster who had done just about everything for Wells Fargo in the years he'd been with them. He stopped pacing now and looked at Bill worriedly.
It's going to be a hell of a trip. The road's slick, and the bridges may go out any time. What's more, you've got a heavy box. You'll have the mine payroll and a sack of gold for the Tamarack Bank. To make it worse, you've got four passengers. One of them, Laura.
Laura? What are you letting her go for?
Ah, don't tell Laura what she can or can't do. She's 21 and she knows how things are as well as I do. Besides, she's told folks she's going, and there'd be a row if I tried to keep her from it. I was thinking maybe you wouldn't want to go today.
You tell me I'm fired, Sam?
No, you've got the best record of any guard I've got. I just thought maybe you wouldn't want to go today.
I heard a yarn about the Domino Kid being between here and Tamarack.
That heller? I don't believe it. The last thing I heard, he was clear over on Snake River.
Just a rumor. Gent in the Last Chance was telling me about it. If you ain't firing me, I'm going. I figure I'd do as well handling the kid as anybody. But there's one thing, Sam. I'm not riding with Travers after this trip.
Well, he's an ornery cuss, all right. And he ain't too smart about some things, but he's a steady enough driver. He'll get the stage through if anybody can.
Laura Benton came in then from the street. She looked prettier than ever, Bill thought, in her plum-colored taffeta dress and the bright blue bonnet that matched her eyes.
You shouldn't be going today. It's a dangerous trip. There's nothing in Tamarack that warrants taking the risk.
That's what a man would say. With Mac Travers driving and you riding shotgun, I'm taking no risk. My best friend is getting married in Tamarack tomorrow, Bill. I wouldn't miss it for anything.
You see? She'll go. Hell or high water wouldn't stop her.
He helped Travers carry the heavy box to the stage and slide it under the seat. Laura stepped inside.
Yeah.
Bill climbed up to the seat beside Travers, and they rolled down the muddy street to the hotel. Three passengers got in there. One was Joe Higgins, a bleary-eyed whiskey drummer. The second, a sheepman from Tamarack named Hank Fletcher. The third, Bill didn't know. He was a slim, dapper man in a black broadcloth suit. He wore two guns on his lean hips, and there was a sort of feline toughness about him that Bill noted. Later, when the town was behind them, and they were wheeling through the sticky gumbo, Bill questioned Travers.
Who's the dude?
Don't know. Stranger in town. You worried, Mason? Think maybe we got the Domino Kid with us?
Maybe. How come you think he's in these parts?
You never know where that hellion's gonna be. I'd heard he was around. That's why I figured you wouldn't be going today. I reckon he's one hombre you wouldn't care to swap lead with.
For an hour they rode in silence under a lowering sky. Carefully, Bill went over in his mind the route between Opal City and Tamarack, picking out the spots where the Domino Kid might set his trap. It wouldn't be on the flat between Opal City and Sundown Canyon, nor would it likely be between the Paiute West Rim and Tamarack. There were two sharp grades down to the rivers, two hard climbs above them. The chances were the kid would strike near the top of one of the climbs. No one seemed to know anything about the Domino Kid except that he wore a black and white checked mask and that he was deadly with six guns. There was no description of his looks because no one had ever seen his face when he was holding up a stage. But he'd just about matched the dude in the coach in size. He usually worked with two men. Bill had never heard of him operating in Oregon, but the outlaw had found it too hot in Montana and Wyoming, where he'd been working. There was a good chance that Domino Kid had moved west. Bill thought again about Stony Crass, the outlaw with whom he had ridden when they'd held up the Silver Creek Bank. Bill had heard he'd been shot a year or so after that, but someone in Crass's crowd must have spotted Bill Mason as the Billy Bach of the Colorado mining camps. Otherwise, the sharp-nosed stranger would never have known who it was. They started down the steep grade to the Sundown River, slithering perilously close to the edge as they swung around the curves. Bill held his shotgun between his legs, eyes on the road below, but it was from habit more than any thought the Domino Kid would be here. He was thinking about the stranger, about Laura Benton, and he wondered bitterly why life had brought them together after it was too late. Then they'd reached the bottom and swung south along the riverbank. A quarter of a mile upstream was the bridge, the muddy yellow torrent sweeping fiercely under it. A mass of logs and debris was jammed against the pier, and it seemed to Bill that the bridge was about ready to go.
Don't look good, Travers. You better let the passengers out before you try to get out on the bridge.
You're yeller. Yeller like the damn soup. Hang on, I'll get you over. Or maybe you want to get down.
Go ahead. We'll all get wet together.
The stage swung west, rumbling on across the swaying bridge, and reached the west side. Travers leered at Bill.
I'd reckon you'd had us sitting all night waiting for the water to go down. There ain't no room for a yeller belly jigger in this business.
Travers, I'm a mite tired of hearing that kind of gab. When we get to Tamarack, I'm gonna shove it down your throat.
Yeah, sure. You play.
Behind them, the River Triumphant washed the span downstream. Travers whipped a glance behind him, and what he saw brought a strained look to his beefy face.
Sure. You'd have had us all taking a cold bath and heading downstream for the Columbia.
For once, Travers was silent. The road tilted sharply now, bringing the horses to a slow, slogging pace. This was where Bill had guessed the Domino Kid would be. Bill gripped his shotgun, eyes hard on the narrow road above, nerves taut as his gaze searched every boulder and break in the steep walls ahead. Slowly they crawled up the gash of a road as gray clouds dropped lower. Then they were on top and leveling out across the summit. The road swung south again. They were across the divide and starting down the grade to the Paiute. It twisted 1,000 feet below them, running as yellow and fiercely as the sundown. The bridge across it was much like the one that had gone out behind them. Bill wondered what Travers would do when he reached it. The coach swayed ponderously down the grade, sliding close to the edge and back again as the straining driver gripped the brake handle. A grim look came to Bill Mason's lean face as he considered the possibility of the bridge below them being out. They'd be marooned here on the peninsula between the two rivers, for days perhaps, without food and without water. Bill thought of the Domino Kid, and he thought of Laura Benton and the coach. Then they were down and rolling upstream alongside the river. The bridge was still in place. There was no logjam against it, but muddy water was running over the plank floor. 50 yards or more above the bridge was a homesteader's deserted shack and barn. Travers didn't make the turn toward the bridge, but tooled the coach off the road and across the meadow to the barn. Bill looked at Travers sharply, but the driver kept his eyes straight ahead, his mouth a hard line across his red face. When the horses stopped beside the barn, Hank Fletcher poked his head out.
Hey, you mule-headed numbskull! What are you doing here?
Travers climbed down.
Maybe you want to take a swim, Fletcher, but I don't. We're staying here tonight.
What the hell? I gotta be in Tamarack tonight!
Walking's good. We just missed getting our feet wet when we crossed the sundown. I can't tell what shape this bridge is in, but I ain't taking no chances. We'll stay here tonight. It ain't cold and it ain't raining. You'll be all right. Come morning, if the water's down, we'll go on.
The roof of the house had fallen in, but the barn was in fair shape. If it rained during the night, they might get wet, but it was better than sleeping in the mud. Travers was unhitching the horses when Bill came up.
You open your mouth about me being scared of crossing the Paiute, and I'll...
I wouldn't think of it, Mac. I don't need to say anything.
It was just the smart thing to do. No use taking chances.
Sure. And we'll be handy for the Domino Kid if he's holing up around here.
That's your job.
Yeah. That's my job. I aim to make it tough for the kid, and anybody that's aiding him.
Keep an eye on that gun packing, dude.
The passengers were huddled in the barn. Laura looked at Bill and challenged him with a smile.
I guess you're still thinking I shouldn't have come.
When's the wedding?
Tomorrow afternoon.
Maybe you'll make it yet.
Bill explored the barn. Stalls ran along one half of the north side. The other half was a large rectangular pen. The floor of the south end was covered with musty straw. He went back to the passengers.
I'll see if we can rustle an axe. We can chance a fire here in the pen. It'll be mighty cold by morning if we don't have one.
The dude's brows lifted.
I'd rather be cold than have our hotel burn up.
It won't burn.
Bill searched the shack. In a lean-to behind it, he found a rusty axe. He split some dry wood he found in the lean-to and carried it to the barn. Joe Higgins, the whiskey drummer, had opened his bag and was sampling a bottle. Bill dropped the wood, jerked the bottle from Higgins' mouth, and tossed it into the straw.
Hey, you son of a...
Higgins swung his right fist at Bill, but Bill caught it with his hand.
Behave.
Higgins slashed his left fist into Bill's face. It wasn't a hard blow, but it was enough to snap the last shred of Bill's temper. Travers had been standing in the runway at the end of the barn watching Bill.
You can't throw my passengers around. Shuck off your gun belts, and we'll see who's running this outfit.
Suits me.
Bill unbuckled his gun belts and handed them to Laura.
Come on, Mac. You've been wanting this for a long time.
Travers came in a rush. Bill was lighter than Travers and faster. He pivoted lightly to one side and clipped Travers hard on the side of the head. Travers was set off balance by the initial hit. Bill's fists beat viciously into the driver's thick-muscled stomach, battered his head back with his short trip-hammer punches, and drove him into a corner. Travers was bleeding from mouth and nose, and his eyes were beginning to close. They made a complete circle, Bill stalking as a cougar might stalk his prey.
Come on and fight. You've been calling the wrong man yellow, Travers.
Travers held his ground then, a great fist sweeping at Bill's face. It landed, the first effective blow the driver had smashed home. Then Bill rocked the driver's head with a pile-driving right. The driver started to go down, great arms sagging. As he fell, Bill hit him with all his 180 pounds of hard muscle behind the blow. Bill sleeved sweat from his forehead. As he took the gun belts from Laura, he saw that she was staring steadily at Travers's still body. Then she raised her eyes to Bill's.
Did you have to do that?
What'd you want me to do?
Bill buckled on the belts and began to build a fire in the center of the pen. The gun-slung dude came up to him.
Strange business. What's behind it?
Bill straightened up. The whiskey drummer, Higgins, was on his feet now, and Fletcher was eyeing him curiously.
I'm just not sure. I got it pretty straight that the Domino Kid is around here expecting to grab that express box. I haven't figured out why Travers didn't cross the bridge. Maybe he knows more than I do, but it don't look to me like that bridge over the Paiute is half as dangerous to travel as the one we crossed.
We beat that one by seconds, but I didn't think it looked quite right when he turned off here.
I'm guessing the kid was somewhere on the road beyond the Paiute, maybe just below the rim. It's steep right there, and we'd have been moving slow. I figure we're as well off here as we could have been if the kid had tackled us below the rim. That's why you ain't taking on a skinful of your 40 rod, Higgins. Before this night is over, we may need all the guns we got.
Travers had come around now, his hate-filled eyes on Bill.
From here on in, I'm running things. You hear that, Travers?
The driver nodded sullenly and made no move to get up.
All right. Some of you will get some sleep. Laura, we can fix you a bed over there in the straw. The rest of us will stay here. If we ain't lucky, we'll be stopping lead by morning.
For a time, none of them said anything. They stood looking at Bill.
I've heard of the Domino Kid. If he is around, we'll be lucky if we don't all stop some lead.
Travers got up and lurched out of the barn. Bill nodded at Higgins and Fletcher.
Go over to the lean-to and give me some wood. Gonna be tough sledding here tonight. I'm not sure of Travers. If he's thrown in with the kid, he may get the drop on us.
Could be you're suspicious of me, too. I hope you'll believe me. I'm Brad Buckley. I'd heard the Tamarack Bar was for sale. I'm going over to see about it. I'm packing a nice chunk of dinero. I might just as well stop some of the kid's lead if I lose it.
You look like you might be some help when the shooting starts. Higgins won't, and Fletcher's the kind that's likely to start things at the wrong time.
Bill looked at Laura and slowly shook his head.
Lady, I'm sure sorry you're here.
I'm not. I wouldn't miss this for the world.
I suppose you think it'll be as much fun as a wedding.
Certainly, and a lot more exciting.
All right, just stick around. You'll have your excitement. Buckley, when I'm not here, I want you to stay with Laura. She might be as profitable for the kid as the express box.
Bill left the barn and walked to the coach. When he returned with the express box, he dropped it outside the pen in the straw. Fletcher and Higgins were standing beside Buckley at the fire, but neither Laura nor Travers was in sight.
Where's Laura?
I don't know. Thought she was in here.
Where's Travers?
He hasn't been here since he got up after his licking.
Damn.
Bill left the barn. It had begun to rain again, not heavily, but enough to make a person wet, and Laura was out in it. Bill circled the barn, searched the house, and finally found her standing beside the bridge.
What are you doing here?
Getting rained on. If you don't get me to that wedding, Bill Mason, I'll never speak to you again.
All I want is to get you out of here alive. After this, you stay in the barn. Did you see Travers?
Travers is over there on the other side of the river. Why would he be there?
My guess is he's expecting to find the Domino Kid. Come on, you're getting back to the barn. When the blow-off comes, you can get down behind the manger and stay there.
Yes, all right.
For one short moment, as they walked back to the barn together, Bill dreamed a dream that had been with him from the time he'd first seen Laura. Then, like all dreams, it was gone, for the past had rushed up again. Silver Creek, Stony Crass, the sharp-nosed stranger, and Billy Bach, the bank robber.
What are you thinking, Bill?
I was thinking about how to keep you out of the Domino Kid's hands. He may get the idea your dad would dig deep into his pocket to get you back with your hide all in one piece.
For a long time, they sat around the fire while darkness came and the rain pounded against the roof.
What do you figure about Travers?
If he comes in, don't take any chances. In the dark, with that rain, a Domino Kid and an army could sneak up on us. One of us has got to stay outside. Who wants the first crack at it?
Hank Fletcher pulled at the ends of his scraggly mustache.
I reckon it might as well be me.
Fire a shot if you need any help, and keep fairly close to the barn. Come in every half hour or so.
Sure.
Fletcher slipped into the slicker and went out. Bill picked up Higgins' coat.
Come on, Laura, you're going to bed.
He laid the coat on the straw on the other side of the row of mangers. But when he came back, Laura hadn't stirred.
I'm not sleepy.
All right, get in the way if you want to.
They sat around the fire, talking little. Higgins kept licking his lips and looking at his bag. Buckley stared somberly into the fire. Bill moved to the door occasionally and looked out into the rainy night, Laura following him with her eyes from where she sat across the fire from Buckley. Once she got up and moved to him.
Did you see Fletcher?
No, I'm going out to look.
He stepped out of the barn. 5 minutes later, he was back. He hesitated a moment after stepping back inside. His eyes were on Laura.
You might as well know. Fletcher's out there by the coach, dead. He's been knifed.
The Domino Kid?
I never heard he was a knifer. Gunslingers don't usually have any need for knives.
Bill had been holding a hand behind his back. Now he brought it around him and showed Laura the bloody, long-bladed knife he held. The handle showed a black and white checkered design.
That was in Fletcher's chest. Reckon it's the Domino Kid's, all right.
Buckley was standing across the fire from Bill, staring at Bill's face rather than the knife. Joe Higgins was still crouched by the fire, whiskey-bleared eyes wide with fear, the smell of liquor about him.
Damn you, Higgins! You've been into your bag again! How can you do any straight shooting if you're gonna fill your hide with that rotten whiskey?
I just had a snort. I ain't got a gun anyway.
Buckley's got two. When they rush us, you'll need one, so use one of his.
Buckley had stepped away from the fire, and for the moment Bill's eyes hadn't been on him, his hand had darted down and pulled a gun.
Now take it easy. The Domino Kid plays it a little different this time, hombre. He rides along nice and comfortable in the stage, holes up with you when Travers gets scared of the bridge, and now he rakes in the pot. I've heard how fast you are with your guns, Mason. I figured this would be the easiest way since you didn't want to play smart and tell Polk you'd sit tight.
Bill could curse himself for a fool. The Domino Kid had played him for a sucker. He'd been suspicious of the dude at first, and then he'd believed his story about going to Tamarack to buy the saloon.
You're the Domino Kid? You couldn't have knifed Fletcher.
Well, I'm the Domino Kid, all right, and I knew this was the time to hit the stage. Your smart gun guard there gave me another idea. I'll take you along. It might just be your dad thinks enough of you to pay. No, I didn't knife Fletcher. I've got a couple of good men out there.
A moment later, Travers and the sharp-nosed man came in.
You got the horses, Pope?
Mine and yours. And one for Travers.
Good. Harness up the horses, Travers. We're taking the stage. I figure somebody will be out tomorrow finding out why the stage didn't get in. And they might be suspicious if they see it. Did you gents go through the mailbags?
Nothing there. We was at it when Fletcher showed up. That's why we had to beef him.
Get at the horses, Travers. Poke, the box is over there. Put it on the stage.
Bill tensed. He'd been waiting for a break, and it hadn't come. Buckley had expected him to make a try for his guns. Even a killer like the Domino Kid wanted an excuse to kill a man.
I've never failed on a job. The reason I've never failed is because I don't tackle one that hasn't been thoroughly planned. After Travers caught on here, he kept me informed. Then, when he recognized Eli Crone, he brought him in, and we were set. I reckon we might even pull another job or two before Sam gets wise. That's what was wrong with Stony Crass, Billy Bach. He just rode blind and started shooting. Men like that don't last long. You gotta work at this, same as anything else.
Poke carried the box back to the coach. Travers led the horses outside, and Poke came back in.
All set, kid.
But Buckley was enjoying himself too much to go yet. He drew a black and white checked hood from his pocket and tossed it at Bill's feet.
That's my brand, gun guard. I'll leave it here with your carcass so the sheriff will know who pulled the job. I always believe in advertising. It's easier when you keep folks scared.
Buckley nodded at Laura.
You get in the stage. Your friend Mason here will be kind of messed up when I get done. I'm right sorry about this, Mason. From all I hear, you've been a good guard. But good guards make my business tough.
Hold on. Was all this planned with Travers?
Well, sure. We didn't plan on the Sundown Bridge going out like it did, but it made it reasonable when Travers pulled in here. That was a chunk of luck for us.
From what I've heard of the Domino Kid, he's the kind of gent who'd give a man a chance with his gun. You act like you're gonna smoke me down cold.
I let you keep your guns thinking the tough Bill Mason might make a play, but hell, you haven't even tried. So I'll have to do it this way.
How come you knew about the Silver Creek job and Stony Crass?
That was Eli Crone. This is a hell of a way for a gun guard to die, but it'll have to do. Poke, get this gal out of here. She don't seem to be able to go by herself.
Buckley pushed the girl toward Poke, and then the whole thing broke, and in a way Bill hadn't expected. Nobody had been watching Joe Higgins. The whiskey drummer was still hunkered by the fire, but it had finally dawned on his liquor-fogged brain that if Bill died, he'd die too. He had crept toward Buckley, and the outlaw didn't see him until he'd wrapped his arms around Buckley's legs. Bill reeled away from the fire, grabbing a gun as he moved. Buckley fired point blank at Higgins. Poke, too, clawed for his gun, but he was far too slow. Bill whirled toward Buckley just as the outlaw kicked himself free from Higgins' relaxed grip. Buckley swept his gun up toward Bill, but he'd lost a valuable second, long enough for Bill to line his gun up on Buckley for a fatal shot. Poke was dead. Bill saw that, and he saw that his second bullet had ended the career of the Domino Kid. But Mac Travers was outside on the stage seat. Bill raced for the barn door. Travers already had the coach moving. He saw Bill come out and curl his black snake over the horses' heads. The big coach was rumbling toward the bridge. Bill raced after it, but there was no catching up with it now. He stopped, gun held high, but he held his fire. The gold was in the stagecoach, but the chances were good Mac Travers would never find it. Besides, he'd likely go on to Tamarack and meet up with Eli Crone, who knew about Bill's background. Bill pictured the Tamarack agent's bearded face and tried to place him, but failed. He had no proof now against the agent except what the Domino Kid had said. But if Travers went on to Tamarack, Bill Mason would get the proof he needed. When Bill got back to the barn, he found Laura bending over Joe Higgins. The whiskey drummer's shirt was soaked with blood, but he was alive. Laura had torn a piece off her underskirt and bound the wound. Bill examined it, Higgins watching him worriedly.
You're hit bad enough that you can't ride a horse, but looks to me like you'll make it all right if you lie still. Laura and me will head for Tamarack. We'll send a doc back. There's enough wood here for you to keep the fire going till morning. Sky's clearing up. I reckon the rain's over. Tomorrow will be warmer. Joe, you did a mighty brave thing. We'd both be dead by now if you hadn't taken a hand.
I knew that, Bill. And the heller figured I was so no account he didn't have to watch me. All he bothered to do was keep his eyes on you. I say, throw those carcasses out, will you, Bill? They make plumb unpleasant company.
Bill dragged the bodies out of the barn and threw Higgins' coat over him.
We'll get you to Tamarack in time for that wedding, Laura. Let's ride. I don't know what these horses are like, but we'll find out.
Laura faced Bill, and for the first time since he'd known her, she seemed at a loss for something to say.
Bill, I guess you were right. I had no business coming today.
It's a little late now to think about that. Let's travel.
Bill could have caught the stage before it reached Tamarack, but he wanted to catch Eli Crone red-handed. Bill's career as a gun guard was over. It was a fact he must face now, just as he had faced the fact that he could never tell Laura Benton how he felt about her. She knew now who he was, what he had been. As she rode beside him through the drizzling rain, she said nothing about it. But she'd heard the Domino Kid, and the outlaw had said enough. There was just one more thing Bill Mason could do for Sam Benton before he left the country. That was to prove to him the part Eli Crone had in the Domino Kid's sinister scheme. It was seldom Benton made a mistake in a man, and he hated to admit it when he did. He'd have to be shown hard, solid proof. So Bill and Laura stayed behind the stage after it reached the flat between the rim and Tamarack. The moon broke through the clouds. They were within a mile of Tamarack.
I'm gonna go on ahead, Laura. You follow along behind like we've been doing so you'll know if Travers stops or pulls off. If he does, you circle and hightail it into town and find me. I'll be somewhere around the office.
What are you gonna do, Bill?
I aim to get the deadwood on Eli Crone. I'll get ahead of Travers and be in Tamarack when he drives up. Chances are Crone will be in his office waiting to make the split with Travers and the Domino Kid. You follow him in, but don't let him see you. Your dad keeps a room in the hotel. You go there.
Bill left her then. He made a wide circle around Travers, keeping a low ridge between him and the coach. It was nearly dawn when Bill rode into Tamarack, and the moon was again smothered behind thick clouds. There was a light in the express office window. Aside from that, the town appeared lifeless. Bill rode to the rear of the office and left his horse behind it. He crouched in the alley beside the building and looked into the window. Sam Benton and Eli Crone were in his office. With hard riding, Benton could have reached Tamarack from Opal City by going south and crossing the upper bridges. Likely he had heard the lower bridge across the Sundown had gone out, and he had come on to see if the stage had reached Tamarack. Then Bill heard the rumble of the stagecoach. Crone and Benton must have heard it too, for they came out and stood on the porch. The coach appeared out of the darkness.
You see, Sam? Mason ain't there. I'm betting Mac saved the gold for you. What the hell happened, Mac?
Plenty. The Domino Kid was laying for us at the Paiute Bridge. Mason was in with him, but I got both of them.
Is Laura all right?
I reckon. The passengers are all in the barn above the bridge. I had to get on as fast as I could. They had a slick trap fixed up, but I got them.
Travers climbed down and he and Crone picked up the box. They carried it inside. Cold rage poured through Bill Mason then. Sam Benton followed them in. The thing that didn't make sense was Travers leaving Laura behind, and in a minute Sam would see that. Travers couldn't afford to wait long. He knew Bill was behind them. They'd kill Sam Benton and open the express box. Softly, Bill stepped around the corner and crossed the porch. He passed a window just as Eli Crone was slashing down at Benton's head with a gun barrel. Bill had waited too long. He pulled a gun and went into the room. Travers had the box open, his back to the door.
Rocks! Eli, look! That damn Mason ran a Sandy on us!
Then Crone saw Bill in the doorway, and a look of utter amazement entered the bearded, bald-headed man's pale eyes. Instantly, his gun came up. That was the last shot Eli Crone fired. Mac Travers had spun away from the table and around, plucking a gun as he turned. For this short interval, it seemed to Bill Mason that time was flowing strongly against him. Travers had the first shot. There was the numbing impact of a slug ripping into Bill's left shoulder. He lurched, and Travers missed his second shot. Bill didn't miss. Outside, there was the hoof pound of Laura's horse. Lights flamed to life along Tamarack's main street as the gunfire broke into men's sleep and brought them scurrying out of their rooms. A moment later, Doc Bevins was in the office, hair rumpled, his black bag in his hand. An hour after that, the crowd was gone, and the buckboard had been sent to Paiute Bridge for Joe Higgins. Sam Benton had nothing more than a headache, but Bill Mason's bullet-ripped shoulder would be a long time mending. Benton sat at the table in the office, facing Bill, Laura beside him.
It's morning, Laura. You better go get some sleep if you're going to look pretty for the wedding.
That's not the wedding that counts.
Bill looked at her, and for a moment he was stunned by the implication of her words.
It's quite a girl I've got, Bill. She's like a good horse. Needs a tight rein, but she'll go a long ways with the right man.
I guess I'm done in these parts. I'll be riding on to some place they don't know. It used to be called Billy Bach.
You'll be riding nowhere. Don't be a fool. I have suspicion about you for a long time, but it makes no never mind to me. A man's past is his past. It's the present and the future I'm thinking about.
You knew?
Well, I had an idea. I got a letter quite a spell ago from Tamarack, signed Friend by some Jehu who didn't have guts enough to put his own handle down. I reckon it must have been Crone. The letter said you'd been with Stony Crass when the Silver Creek Bank had been held up. I wrote to Silver Creek, and the sheriff wrote back. He didn't have no count against any Billy Bach. Stony Crass was dead, and the money'd been recovered. He didn't know who all was in the outfit, but the case was closed as far as they were concerned.
If you knew...
Oh, of course, I didn't really know. I figured somebody was trying to get rid of my best gun guard. Hell, man, you'd had plenty of chance to sell me out, and you hadn't. Yesterday, that sharp-nosed stranger who was in Opal City came in and gave me another yarn about you being an owl hooter. That was why I thought maybe you wouldn't want to make this run. I figured that if you really had anything to be afraid of, you'd want to drift. But you didn't. Now that I've got the yarn about what happened at the bridge, I'll go so far as to promise you a job as long as you want it.
This Crone. The Domino Kid said he knew me, but I can't place him.
He was giving me a big talk before the stage showed up about how he's lived in Silver Creek and he saw you holding the horses for Stony Crass's bunch when they knocked the bank over. I've heard Crone say he used to have a head of black hair. Now that he's bald-headed and raised a beard, I reckon he's changed.
Bill remembered then a new man named York Logan who joined the outfit shortly before the Silver Creek holdup. Logan, without the hair and with a heavy beard, must and could have been Eli Crone.
It was a slick trick all around, just like one of the Domino Kid's jobs. Only it backfired on him when that poke hombre couldn't work you. I reckon Travers and Crone wouldn't have found the gold for a long time after you put it in one of Laura's bags.
Only Laura won't have the clothes she figured on wearing to the wedding.
It doesn't matter.
Laura was coming toward Bill, her eyes on him, trying to tell him, as her father had, that the past is past and the future's the only part of life that counts. Bill smiled a little then and put his good right arm around her. It was the future he could see now, running its clear and promising trail ahead of him through the years, a trail that held a promise of reality for the dreams he'd dreamed. It seemed to Bill, the way Laura was raising her face to his, that she was seeing the same long trail.
I told you, that wasn't the wedding that mattered.